Luke 11, verse 5. He said to them, supposing one of you goes to a friend and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, because a friend of mine has come from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now, what do you see here? You see here a person who loves this friend who visited his house at midnight. Now, usually, if somebody comes to your house at midnight and you don't have any food in the house, you will not ask him, have you eaten? Because he may say yes and then you'll be stuck. So, but this man asked, he loved him so much that he said, have you eaten? And that man said, no, I haven't. Okay, I don't have any food here, but I'll go and get you some. And he goes to his neighbor's house and knocks there and says, give me 3 loaves. And listen to this, from inside his neighbor's house, the neighbor says in verse 7, Luke 11, 7, don't bother me. The door is shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. See, we ourselves would be embarrassed to go, even if a friendly neighbor, to wake him up at midnight. And especially if he says, don't disturb me. My children are in bed, please go away. We quietly go away. But here it says, this man says he wouldn't go. That's a very rare type of person who will not go because he loves his friend so much, you see. He says, I've got to feed him. And so he keeps on bothering. And this man says in verse 7, don't bother me. But he says he keeps on knocking until he gets what he wants. And it says in verse 8, even if that neighbor does not give him what he wants because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence. Do you see that word in your Bible? Read it and be gripped by it. Verse 8, persistence. He will get up and give him, listen to this word, as much as he needs. That means whatever your need is, as much as he needs. To me, that's a wonderful word. It's referring to asking for the Holy Spirit, remember? There's some things I learned from this story. You know, God has made this world in such a way, the human race, that none of us are supposed to live for ourselves. The fundamental problem with man is everybody wants to live for himself. I, me, and my family. That's it. Now, as long as you live by this principle of I, me, and my family, I see you might as well forget about being a Christian. You might as well join another religion. Because Christianity is not I, me, and my family. It's God first. And he calls us. He blesses us. You know what he told Abraham? I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. In another place, Jesus said, if you thirst and come to me and drink, what will happen? John 7, 37. When you drink, rivers of living water will flow out from you. So it's not just to satisfy your thirst, but your life will be, rivers means what? Rivers of, to bless other people. And we see the same thing here. Here is a man who's concerned about blessing his neighbor. I'll tell you, when I began to seek God earnestly for the fullness of the Holy Spirit and prayed and fasted and prayed with other people, my main reason was not just to overcome sin in my life, but I said, Lord, I want to be an effective witness for you by my life and my words. You know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Be my witnesses, not bear witness, which is with words. Be my witness. So I said, that's what I want. I don't seem to have the power to be a witness. I'm so shy, withdrawn. It's very difficult for me to share the word with others. And even though I've been a Christian for so long, I know what I need. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you said rivers of living water will come out through me. But when I looked at my life at that time, this is about 44 years ago. Well, 45 years ago, There were no rivers coming out of me. It was just a trickle of water. And that also with great effort. You know, there are some places where there's no running water. You go to the village, some villages in India, there's a hand pump. There'll be one or two hand pumps in the village. And the women in the village go there and pump and pump and pump and get a little bucket of water. I found my Christian life was somewhat like that. The lot of struggle and a few drops of water would come out. I said, this is not the Christian life. You said about rivers of living water flowing that not only keeps me fresh, that makes other people I contact fresh as well. Do you know that's God's will for you, my brother, sister? It's not God's will that you should live a boring, discouraged life. Never. God wants to bless you in such a way that blessing will overflow from your life. Doesn't matter who you are, even a young boy or girl, to other people. And that's what we see in this parable of asking for the Holy Spirit. This man went to his neighbor's house to get bread, not for himself. Did you get that? He did not ask for anything for himself. He said, I'm concerned about a friend who came to my house. He's hungry. I was concerned about people around me who were unsaved, about people around me who didn't know the Lord, or believers who were living in sin. And I said, Lord, how can I help them? Now, if you don't have a concern for people around you, my brother, sister, forget about asking for the Holy Spirit. Go and do something else. That's what we see here in connection with asking for the Holy Spirit. Am I living a self-centered life, just selfish, selfish, myself, my family, that's it? Well, then you don't need the Holy Spirit. You just need some money and a job and you'll be okay. But here's a man who's concerned about someone around him who's in need. And he's concerned enough to go in. It's a picture of a man going and asking God, Lord, knocking at God's door, saying, Lord, I don't have what it takes to help this man. See, that's the second thing we need to be aware of. Not only a concern for the people around us, but also an awareness that you don't have what it takes to meet that need. I was very aware of that. I said, Lord, I don't have what it takes. I'm not able to share powerfully to help these people. So you got to do something for me. And I knocked and knocked for a few years. But I was determined. I think God was seeing whether I'd give up after some time and run off after something else, but I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because that changed my life completely. And I wish every believer would seek God like that. And that's the thing we see here. Now, if you turn to John's Gospel, there are three places where Jesus spoke about water. I want you to have a look at that. John chapter 3, John 3 and verse 5. He told Nicodemus, you must be born of water, even the Spirit. That's the meaning of that word, if you want to enter into God's kingdom. So the Holy Spirit is pictured like water. And all I have it when I come to Christ initially is a cup. And I take the cup and say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. And God gives me his Holy Spirit. The moment I'm born again, his Spirit comes in. And I'm born of God. My initial need is met. My sins are forgiven. But then, I'm living a very dissatisfied life, defeated very often. And so God has to lead me further to meet that lack in my life. And so in John chapter 4, you go to the next step, step 2, where the Lord told the Samaritan woman in John 4 and verse 14, he was sitting at a well. And he told the Samaritan woman, if you drink water from this well, you'll thirst again. You have to come back here again and again. But if you drink of the water that I'm giving you, and we saw from John 3:5, that's the Holy Spirit, it'll become in you a well or a spring of water always springing up to eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God, the nature of God. It's not just living forever. Please know, eternal life is not living forever, because people who go to hell also live forever, but they don't have eternal life. Eternal life is the quality of life, not quantity of life. It's referring to the life of God springing up within me. And, you know, it's like if you have a well in your house, even if the water supply in the city is cut off, it doesn't make a difference to you, because your water supply does not come from any external source. You've got a well right in your house. And that's a picture of how the Holy Spirit satisfies us, and we don't need any external stimulus. We don't need any external help in order to rejoice or to overcome or to be free from discouragement. We have this well in our own house, inside our heart. And Jesus said it'll be a well. So the cup has now become a well. Initially, the cup of water was just, I was born again, moved out of the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. But now that water has become a well, satisfying my personal need. And then, that's not enough. Now my need is completely satisfied. I can be perfectly happy. But now I go to stage three, where I'm concerned, like this man had a concern for his friend who visited him. Now I'm concerned about other people around me, and my will is only enough to satisfy me. What shall I do for all the other people around me whom I want to bless? And so Jesus speaks about water again a third time in John chapter 7 and verse 37, where he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This is not a cup. This is not a well. This is one river and many rivers in many directions. What's the purpose of a river? I mean, if I'm only interested in my own need, a well is enough. But if I'm interested in blessing other people around me, then I need not only one river, but many rivers going in many directions. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that anyone who's seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if he's really eager for the power of the Holy Spirit to bless other people around him, he's more likely to be filled sooner than otherwise.